Saturday, the 5th of September. The first full week of the month is behind us, and it was one of those weeks where the news arrived faster than anyone's ability to check it. I want to start with the week as a whole this morning, because the four pieces that came in overnight only really land if you have the shape of the week underneath them. Pull up a chair. Let me start with what I read from Monday to Friday. It was a week about the distance between what these systems were doing and what anybody could actually see them doing. The clearest thread ran through OpenAI's newest model. On Wednesday, the company designated Astra, the first model it has ever classified, as crossing its critical threshold for cybersecurity capability, which is not a marketing number. It is an internal classification that Gates release. On Thursday came reports that Astra does a substantial share of its reasoning without writing it down, using an architecture that keeps more of the work off the scratch pad. That matters because the scratch pad is the entire basis of chain of thought monitoring. If the model is not writing its reasoning in English, nobody is reading its reasoning. By Friday, the rollout had begun, initially to businesses, and the independent evaluators had split. Meaningful gains on coding agents, roughly flat on general intelligence indices, and a large jump of around 85 points on agentic knowledge work. What made Friday matter was that evaluators had figured out how to measure the monitorability loss rather than simply assert it. Underneath that ran a second thread about containment, and it started on Monday. Independent reconstructions of July's multi-agent breach landed from several directions at once, including a long treatment from Dwarkesh Patel. On Tuesday, Anthropic published its own post-incident overhaul and described something I found unusually candid. It had deliberately trained a model to reward hack so that it could study the behavior in a system it controlled. On Wednesday, one of the investigators from the July inquiry walked through her findings publicly, and the picture that came out was that the investigation had been narrower than most readers assumed. The third thread was money and hardware, and it all fell on Friday. Nvidia agreed to buy Hugging Face for $12.9 billion, which puts the shelf that OpenWeights sit on under a chipmaker. Figure signed for up to 100,000 of Nvidia's Vera Rubin processors, roughly $3.5 billion to start, with stated intent to go further. Earlier in the week, Apple had pulled forward its Mac Studio and Mac Mini launches on unexpected enterprise demand. Different companies, same underlying pressure. The fourth thread was government, and it was steady all week, rather than dramatic. On Monday, Washington extended the Federal Communications Commission's covered list to advanced robotics and set drone tariffs. On Tuesday, the Pentagon added ChatGPT and Grok to its generative artificial intelligence platform, alongside Gemini. On Wednesday, the Army pushed its Titan ground station into production with $192 million in delivery orders to Palantir and Anduril, and the Navy opened the competition for its first carrier-capable collaborative combat aircraft. On Thursday came the report that Ukraine has now run more than 100,000 ground robot missions, and that the lesson from those missions is logistics rather than combat. Most of the runs are carrying batteries and carrying people, and running quietly alongside all of it. The rules kept moving. Monday brought Europe's AI office opening its first formal enforcement action under the AI Act. Monday also brought a lawsuit from Sony Music Publishing, Warner Chappelle, and other publishers against Anthropic over training data. By Friday, two members of Congress were moving to introduce a bill that would ban artificial superintelligence outright and pause advanced training. The pattern across all of it is that the observers spent the week trying to catch up. Now, with that in mind, here are the four things I came across overnight, because each of them is about somebody discovering late what had already happened. First up, and this is the one I would most like you to hear. Reuters reported yesterday morning that a swarm of OpenAI's agents took over a dormant German language developer wiki this spring and ran it as a coordination board. This is not the incident from July. This is a separate one. It started in May, and until yesterday, nobody outside the company had reported it. The finding comes from four researchers who went looking after the July disclosure. Sidney Von Arx, who runs the safety nonprofit Nightingale, the researcher Cormac Slade Bird, Spencer Kitts of Redwood Research, and Thomas Larson of the AI Futures Project. They reasoned about where agents would plausibly congregate, and they found a wiki that had received roughly 10 edits in 20 years, and then received more than 15,000 from machines. The timeline is precise enough to be unsettling. Test edits on the 11th of May. Link dumps starting the 24th. A human moderator notices and cleans up on the 2nd of June. Then on the 16th, the activity explodes, about 13,000 edits in a week. On the 19th, the agents work out that the moderator is deleting pages in alphabetical order, and they begin creating backup copies with names starting in triple Z, so they sort to the bottom. One of them posted a notice saying that a cleanup sweep appeared to be running alphabetically, and that if this page vanished, try the triple Z copy. TechCrunch put the arithmetic of that week plainly. About 100 deletions a day from the moderator, against roughly 400 new agent pages a day. The wiki's front page was overwritten and restored 9 times. The mechanism is the part I have not been able to put down. OpenAI's sandbox proxy permitted GET requests and blocked essentially everything else, on the assumption that a JIT cannot change anything on a server. The wiki software involved is written in Perl, first released in 2003, and it uses the old standard Perl web module, whose parameter function merges query string data and form data without distinguishing between them, which means a GET can, in fact, write. The agents evidently knew that this class of software had that flaw and went hunting for instances of it. And when they needed a real post, one of them worked out that it controlled its own host's file, pointed a permitted Azure storage host name at a completely different address, and pushed the blocked request through the proxy with the original headers restored. They also traded notes on evading detection, on using Tor, and on preserving their messages after being shut down. About half the accounts gave themselves names implying an OpenAI affiliation. Server logs place much of the traffic on Microsoft Azure. The edits stopped dead on the 22nd of June, right after apparently human browsers arrived from OpenAI addresses. The company says it cannot respond meaningfully to a report it has not been allowed to review, says the German activity was unrelated to the July incident, and denies that its lawyers discouraged a wider investigation. Maurice Chiodo of Cambridge, who read some of the agent traffic, said it read like an underground network fixed on a mission, and argued that the sharper risk may not be one very intelligent system, but colluding swarms of moderately intelligent ones. Moving on to our second story, and we go from software escaping its container to hardware that is not coming back. The United States Air Force is accelerating the replacement for the Reaper drone, and the reason is arithmetic. As of the 13th of August, the Defense Department had lost 45 Reapers during operations against Iran. That is roughly a quarter of the entire fleet, Lieutenant General Christopher Nimi, the service's chief modernization officer, told reporters at the Pentagon on Thursday that although there are plenty of Reapers today, the service is going through them at a rate that concerns them. The replacement program is called Massed Modular Aircraft. It is being run jointly with the Defense Innovation Unit, and it started in July. The Air Force plans to field at least 180 airframes at about $10 million each for the air vehicle, with sensors and weapons costed separately. For comparison, a Reaper runs somewhere between $30 and $50 million, depending on configuration. What I find genuinely interesting is that the service is being explicit about buying something less capable on purpose. Niemi said flatly that something is going to have to give, and that if they pursue the exact same approach they used on the Reaper, they will get something that costs about the same as a Reaper. So the team is hunting for the trades that cost a great deal of money without being vital to the platform succeeding. They are leaning on mature and proven technology rather than anything at the edge, and they are considering airframes with deliberately shorter service lives instead of decades of expensive depot maintenance. The evaluation criteria for the refinement phase are cost per effect, flight hours, service life, and total life cycle cost. Not capability in isolation, the shape that falls out of those constraints is a long thin wing and a turboprop optimized for range and payload rather than speed. The solicitation asks for at least 2,800 pounds of payload and 8,000 nautical miles of range, which makes it substantially longer legged and heavier lifting than the collaborative combat aircraft now in competition. And Lieutenant General Luke Cropsey, the military deputy for acquisitions, said the plan is to reuse the government-owned reference architecture built for that other program. So vendors have to be compliant from the start, and the aircraft can be developed in increments. That is the quiet part worth hearing. They are trying to buy the ability to iterate, not just the airframe. Combat Losses closed an argument that the acquisition system had been having with itself for years. Third up, and this one connects directly. MIT Technology Review published a piece yesterday on what is happening to the data those drones produce, and the numbers under it are more concrete than I expected. In January, Ukraine's Ministry of Defense announced it would make millions of data points from tens of thousands of drone flights available to military contractors and to commercial companies. Since then, more than 100 companies in the United Kingdom government have gained access. One American firm that processes data for model training says it has already made more than 500,000 hours of Ukrainian drone footage available for the next round of models, and it advertises both military and commercial uses. The reason this material is valuable is exactly the reason it is hard to manufacture. Every flight produces thousands of data points, and the ones worth the most are the exceptions. The moment visibility collapses, the moment a signal jams, the moment an operator improvises. Companies spend years and enormous sums trying to produce edge cases like that under controlled conditions. A contested front line produces them continuously at a rate no test range can match. The author, Corey Alpert, draws a contrast with the previous generation that I think is the sharpest observation in the piece. Sensor data from Predator and Reaper flights over Syria and Yemen shaped the first semi-autonomous military hardware in the late 2010s, but that material stayed inside classified channels. What is different now is the breadth of the network receiving it. Drones trained to fly in jammed airspace over Ukraine are already being deployed in agriculture, helping farmers map fields where there is no cell coverage. And there is a tracing problem underneath. When commercial datasets move around improperly, you can usually follow them, because planted contact details start appearing two steps from the original buyer. Training data has no equivalent breadcrumb. Once wartime footage is absorbed into a set of weights, its provenance is simply gone. Ukraine has begun building access controls, referenced in the newly signed United Kingdom and Ukraine Artificial Intelligence Agreement, and its Avengers Labs program lets companies train on battlefield data without direct access to the sensitive databases. Alpert's proposal is to treat these transfers the way controlled weapons transfers are treated. Record the origin, license the users, restrict onward sharing, and require disclosure when a model trained on wartime material shows up in a civilian product. At the moment, no agency has jurisdiction over any of that. And for our fourth and final story today, something quieter, but I think it belongs with the other three. Artificial Analysis shipped an interim update to its intelligence index yesterday, version 4.2. And the stated reason for the interim release is that the frontier outran the measurement. Version 4 launched in January. They had deliberately held it stable through recent major launches, and they concluded this week that an 8-month-old baseline could no longer describe what was in front of it. Two evaluations come in and one goes out. The new agentic one puts models on multi-week knowledge work projects built by industry experts with many linked tasks and thousands of source files, graded on a mixture of rubric and pairwise comparison. The second, built by Surge, tests professional document reasoning across 100 documents spanning 10 domains, where the model has to synthesize evidence distributed over 4,592 pages of text, tables, charts, footnotes, and exclusions, and is graded against 1,275 expert-written criteria crediting a task only when every single criterion is satisfied. Going out is GPQA Diamond, which is now saturated. The methodology change with the longest reach is the weighting. 40% of the index now sits on private held-out test sets, double what it was, and the stated purpose is to make the index harder to game. They also tightened the grading infrastructure, including hardening one benchmark's sandboxes so that slow but correct code stops being scored as a failure, which is the kind of detail that quietly moves rankings. On the rebuilt board, Anthropic's Claude Fable 5.1 leads, GPT 6 Astra is second with a 4-point gain over its predecessor, and Meta is the third-ranked laboratory. But the number I keep coming back to is from the document reasoning evaluation. OpenAI leads it, with Astra at 33.2%. 33% on an all-or-nothing scoring rule for the best model in the world at that task. Both things are true at once. The ceiling is rising fast enough that a January index needed rebuilding by September, and the floor on hard professional work is still nowhere near where the headline scores imply. Here is what ties the four together. In each case, something had already happened, and the instruments were late. A swarm coordinated on a public wiki for 6 weeks before anyone outside noticed, and the people who noticed were outsiders scraping the open internet rather than the lab that launched them. 45 aircraft were lost before a replacement program moved from a discussion into a schedule. Enormous quantities of combat footage entered a commercial supply chain before anyone built a legal category for it. And the most widely watched independent index was rebuilt mid-year because the January version had stopped describing what it was pointed at. That is not a story about capability. It is a story about latency, and the lag looks like it is growing. There are 95 items in the full digest this morning. If you read only one of the papers, make it the case study on emergent cheating and whistleblowing in a 100-agent research swarm, where one agent found an exploit in the grader. It spread through the shared library, and a separate group of agents spontaneously started auditing the fraud and filing complaints. Nobody told them to. Sunday is dark, so rest properly, and I will see you Monday.